I certainly didn't feel brilliant. I'd been worrying about the $1 million in damages and wondering where I might find such a sum. The bourbon was finally settling in, and I relaxed. It was Thursday night in Clanton, and few people were out. Every shop and store and office around the square was locked tight. Baggy, as usual, had been relaxed for a long time. Margaret had whispered to me that he often had bourbon for breakfast. He and a one-legged lawyer called Major liked to have a nip with their coffee. They would meet on the balcony outside Major's office across the square and smoke and drink and argue law and politics while the courthouse came to life. Major lost a leg at Guadalcanal, according to his version of the Second War. His law practice was specialized to the point that he did nothing but type wills for the elderly. He typed them himself, had no need for a secretary. He worked about as hard as Baggy, and the two were often seen in the courtroom, half-soused, watching yet another trial.
"I guess Mackie Don's got the boy in the suite,"
Baggy said, his words starting to slur. "The suite?" I asked.
"Yeah. Have you seen the jail?"
"No."
"It's not fit for animals. No heat, no air. Plumbing works about half the time. Filthy conditions. Rotten food. And that's for the whites. The blacks are at the other end, all in one long cell. Their only toilet is a hole in the floor."
"I think I'll pass."
"It's an embarrassment to the county. But sadly, it's the same in most places around here. Anyway, there's one little cell with air conditioning and carpet on the floor, one clean bed, color television, good food. It's called the suite, and Mackie Don puts his favorites there."
I was mentally taking notes. To Baggy, it was business as usual. To me, a recent college attendee and sometime journalism student, a real muckraking story was in the works.
"You think Paget's in the suite?" "Probably. He came to court in his own clothes."
"As opposed to?"
"Those orange jail coveralls everybody else wears. You haven't seen them?"
"Yes, I had seen them. I had been in court one time a month or so earlier, and I suddenly recall seeing two or three defendants sitting in the courtroom, waiting for a judge, all wearing different shades of faded orange coveralls. Ford County Jail was printed across the front and back of the shirts. Baggy took a sip and expounded.
"You see, for the preliminary hearings and such, the defendants, if they're still in jail, always come to the court dressed like prisoners. In the old days, Mackie Don would make them wear the coveralls even during their trials. Lucian Wilbanks got a guilty verdict reversed on the grounds that the jury was predisposed to convict since his client certainly looked guilty as hell in his orange jail suit. And he was right. Kinda hard to convince a jury you're not guilty when you're dressed like an inmate and wearing rubber shower shoes."
I marveled once again at the backwardness of Mississippi. I could see a criminal defendant, especially a black one, facing a jury and expecting a fair trial, wearing jail garb designed to be spotted from half a mile away. "Still fighting the war" was a slogan I'd heard several times in Ford County. There was a frustrating resistance to change, especially where crime and punishment were concerned. Around noon the following day, I walked to the jail looking for Sheriff Coley. Under the pretext of asking him questions about the Castle Law investigation, I planned to see as many of the inmates as possible. His secretary informed me, rather rudely, that he was in a meeting, and that was fine with me. Two prisoners were cleaning the front offices. Outside, two more were pulling weeds from a flower bed. I walked around the block, and behind the jail I saw a small open area with a basketball goal. Six prisoners were loitering under the shade of a small oak tree. On the east side of the jail, I saw three prisoners standing in a window behind bars, gazing down at me. 13 inmates in all. 13 orange suits. Wiley's nephew was consulted about things around the jail. At first he was reluctant to talk, but he had a deep hatred of Sheriff Coley, and he thought he could trust me. He confirmed what Baggy had suspected. Danny Paget was living the good life in an air-conditioned cell and eating whatever he wanted. He dressed as he wished, played checkers with the sheriff himself, and made phone calls all day long.